keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check us out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time here on the same channel. Bookmark us and check back at other times during the day to listen to other awesome UCY journalists and voices that you can hear that are alternatives to the crap that we're seeing on the mainstream media. Should I say corporate media? That's basically trying to get us into this horrible, horrible proxy war situation, which who knows what it could turn into, man. I mean, this is the groundwork for setting up World War III, in my opinion, and we can't forget how big of an ally Russia is with Syria, and how much the tensions have been going on with Russia and us with this whole thing in Ukraine and all that stuff. I mean, this is all stuff to keep in mind as we move forward here with this announcement from the president tonight. And we could talk about that speech, and we're going to have open lines tonight. I'm joined here in the studio by our co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, doing good.
And we're also joined in the studio with SM Gibson. How are you doing tonight, man?
I can't complain. Well, I can, but, you know, we'll do that for the next hour.
I mean, if you guys want to call in, feel free. Let me give you the number real quick. It is 718-717-8296. So if anyone wants to call in, let's talk about ISIS, ISIL, Islamic State, whatever they're calling themselves nowadays, whatever the media is calling them, whatever Obama's calling them. Let's talk about it. What do you guys think about
CIA?
It? Oh, yeah, maybe that's how it's spelled. Whatever you guys feel like talking about with ISIS, different angles of this stuff. Otherwise, we're going to go off on this and try to figure out where we're going with this war and all this propaganda, all this rhetoric, which is the big thing that we need to talk about. And then what can we do to try to stop it, or at least put a damper on it, try to encourage these politicians to not do it. Let's talk about that stuff too. If anyone has any ideas, let's feel free to call in. Once again, the number is 718-717-8296. We had a great show on Monday. We had a few callers and really enlightened people were calling in on Monday, and we had some great conversations.
That's so. The thing. I think there is a majority of, I think there's a silent majority of Americans that are very sick and very tired of the current situation, but at the same time, they're silent. They're still in kind of disbelief over the situation. A lot of them today are Republicans. 8 years ago when Bush was in office, they were Democrats. And people get sick of the system when their party's not in charge. These same people that hate the government today that are Tea Party people, Republican people, when the Republicans elected in 2016, they'll be back on board. If we make it to that point, I mean, we're dealing with the imminent, which is we're going back into Iraq from our Nobel Peace Prize winning president. We're likely to attack Syria, who's done nothing to anybody. That doesn't mean he's a good person. It doesn't, you know, aside, you know, I get all that. It's not a defense of that country and sympathizing with them. It's just they haven't done anything to us. Period. Any person that has been attacked, or like the videos of the journalists, where were those located at? Overseas. Who's come into our borders and harmed us? No one. It hasn't happened. We have not been attacked. This has been us provoking people. This has us been going other places, and then violence occurs, and then they just automatically say, well, we should hurt these people because we were there. They hurt us because we were there. But we were there because we loved them. We just wanted them to have freedom.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's the age-old thing we always use is, you know, it's we always like to do it under the banner of freedom. Freedom's an ideology, and it's really not one if it has to be rammed down somebody's throat by force. It's just another, you know, side of the same coin that communism's on. It's a way to kind of trick the masses into thinking they're working for themselves. And in fact, what do? You work for a dollar that declines and pay an income tax that's split into thirds and goes to foreign corporations because the corporation you were born into allows it. So we're at that point, man. We live under an ideology too. You know, American freedom is another trial government by the people in charge that pretend to represent us. And, you know, we're seeing through the facade now. We really are.
Yeah, I posted an article yesterday, last night actually, about how, you know, that Stanford study about how the U.S. is an oligarchy. We talk about it all the time on the show. But I posted the article last night on the Facebook page, on the anti-media Facebook page, and, I mean, almost everybody that commented on it was like, tell us something we don't know. You know, I mean, it's like, people already know that we're a damn oligarchy, you know what I mean? So it's like, what in the hell are we going to do about it? We all know that it's wrong. We all talk about it being wrong. I mean, historically, people just dislike the government no matter what. So, I mean, what's it going to take to get us to this point where everybody's finally like, okay, the jig is up, the curtain is pulled back, we know it's an oligarchy, whether it's formed under the name of communism, whether it's formed under the name of capitalism, whether it's formed under the name of fascism, in the end, it's always an oligarchy, right?
Right.
So, doesn't matter. I mean, the thing that's going to save us is definitely not political ideologies. That stuff is not going to save us right now, because political ideologies throughout history, it's an organization that always ends up turning into something that it was created to be against.
And it's tribal at its root, dude. I mean, just look at it. Look at Israel. Israel's a perfect example of how an ideology becomes racist, fascist, you name it, any way to divide, right?
People need to stop looking to other people and look to themselves to change things, period. Everybody expects somebody else to fix the situation when ultimately it's us. It's us that fixes it. It starts within ourselves, and it's how we treat our fellow man. And that would resonate, and that would actually change things.
Exactly, man. And everybody wants to wait for the next Martin Luther King to come around and stuff. And of course, if the next Martin Luther King did come around, that would be a good thing. But there's a problem with people like Martin Luther King.
They get shot.
Yep. You know, so
I think Bill Hicks had a real good interpretation of that. Yeah.
It has to be a cultural change, man, and it's got to be at the community level, where we just become as a culture completely resistant to any of these ideas. And I hate to say it, but this is the same idea that our own government was pounding into the heads of these Sunni extremist religious based violent organizations, this is why America created those people, because they would be an ideological opponent to any other regime in the area. So they would, just like they did with the Mujahideen, which became the Taliban, just like they did with Osama bin Laden, they radicalized these people to a point where they were culturally opposed and ideologically opposed. And so they became a permanent fighting force. And now you look at it today, now our very own idea of radicalizing people and brainwashing them to fight against or destabilize certain regions, our own government says that it's now our problem to go in there and go against these same ideologically radical organizations that we helped create. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, okay, this is kind of the same thing, but a little bit different. And please, one of y'all tell me the answer to this. When was the last time the United States of America had an enemy that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was not our ally? When was the last time we had an enemy, quote unquote, that we didn't train, we didn't fund, and was not at some point CIA-based, on record, and was our ally? I mean, it's a joke.
I mean, IG Farben is IBM. I mean, it's been going back since the very beginning. You always play all sides because you don't have a side. When you get to a point where your money is in a trust and it's at a point where you could never possibly spend it, ever. In fact, it's so much money that you buy governments. Well, you don't have nationalities at that level. You really don't have any identifying markers to you except your obscene wealth. And that's the world they're setting up. You get stuck in a country, you're a slave. They're up in a Gulfstream G6 doing whatever the hell they want.
The government loves you. I don't know what you're talking about.
So this is where we're going, man. The Brave New World is that. It's the teeming, unwashed masses being in this gigantic, like we were talking about before, technological grid that you cannot defeat, and pretty much living human gods above us. They're going to get to the transhumanism stage way ahead of everyone else. So what do we have now? We have numbers.
But they,
that's all
we
got.
We do, but I mean, that's kind of, that's what they think. I mean, no, it's not going to work that way. I mean, they can ultimately give us all the iPhone 6s, and we're paying differently now. We're all on the same grid. We're all in the same system, and people buy into it, and they watch the E! Channel, and yada, yada, yada. There's certain people in the world that are just going to be like, no, we're not going to go along with this. I think those people ultimately will all be killed.
Right.
But,
well, they can try, and that in there is the rub. You know, how many people can you make disappear and make all of their families disappear and all of their friends disappear? And then you
people
see.
People believe a lot.
They will believe a lot, but they're not going to believe when it's thousands and millions of people. I believe that point of no return has been passed for them. And you're right. They're going to have to try these plans out to eliminate pretty much anyone who's a dissident. But, man, has it got to be, at this point, billions of people. It's not just us. It's not just us in this matrix. There's people that are on both borders that aren't in this matrix. And there's people all around the world
ultimately
that aren't going to let it happen,
though, I think. Ultimately, they are factored into that equation.
Right.
I don't know. I think Adolf Hitler is alive and well and living in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
I had sex with her last night. That's what I think.
You know, here's another thing out of that speech that I found horrible. Obama sat there and took credit for saving those Yazidi people.
Right.
When in fact, that's not the case. The Kurds saved the Yazidis. And they took them through the Turkish border or something like that, or through Syria or something like that, and Obama sat there and took credit for that, and then I just read an article today that was from someone in the Yazidi region that's part of the refugees over there, basically saying, hey, you guys keep saying that you like bailed us out and stuff, you didn't do shit, we're all starving to death still, they're sitting in refugee camps starving, and they're saying, you keep saying you sent humanitarian aid. Well, we didn't receive any humanitarian aid. We didn't see any of the humanitarian aid.
Well, Obama said.
I know. Exactly. So, I mean, this whole thing where they said that, we talked about this extensively when they first started bombing Iraq again, almost all of the airstrikes, and there's been 150 of them, and the cost of these airstrikes, I forget what it is, but it's in the millions and millions already. We started bombing in the Erbil region, which is the oil hub of the Kurds. So basically, we went back into Iraq to protect the oil because the ISIS guys that we created started getting out of hand and actually started to mess with the resources. We really didn't care that they were killing people and stuff until they got close to the oil. And then we all of a sudden, oh my God, they got a bunch of people trapped. Well, these are the same guys that were slaughtering Christian villages in Syria a year and a half ago, and our government was giving them money and weapons to do it. So, I mean, people have to stop falling for this crap that the government feeds us, that this is a humanitarian mission. It's about resources. It's about the geopolitical chess game. Obviously, they're moving in and encircling Syria. And Syria is the next...
A year, at least.
Syria is going to be the next regime change / military coup. And that's going to piss Russia off big time.
Piss them off. This is it. That's it, dude. I mean, there is no buts about it. That's a client state. That's equal to attacking Russia. They're dominant over it, and they control their government and control their military assets. So,
how far do you think Putin will go, though?
All the way.
You have to,
because if you don't, if you give a toehold, and I'm not going to sit here and say Russia's good. They're not, man. We live in 1984, and we're in one of those gigantic fucking tri-states that can't beat the other ones, and we're stuck in that matrix. But they'll go all the way because they have bunkers, and they'll let the nukes fly, man. It's too classic. We can stop it, though, you know?
But I think, what do they accomplish by doing that? And I think that's kind of the way everything has played out to this point. I think that's the reason Snowden's there.
Right.
I think Putin is, you know, I don't agree with everything Putin does, but I think he's a masterful chess player.
Right.
And I think he's played chess very well up to this point. I don't see him gaining geopolitically from going violent. And I think that's the reason he's back down in Ukraine, is because he knows how to play the game.
Sure.
Well, he brokered the removal of the chemical weapons from Syria, right?
Yeah.
He just got done brokering a ceasefire in Ukraine. He's not trying to get violent. He doesn't want to get violent. That's his last option. But if we continue prodding the bear, which is Russia, and if we're going to play around with their chess pieces, which is Ukraine and Syria, I mean, these are their ways of getting resources out of their country to keep their economy afloat. They're not going to let that happen. So if we start encroaching on their resource base and their ability to distribute their resources, I mean, you're basically declaring World War III by proxy. That's what we're doing.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty easy to see for people that aren't just whitewashed by what's going on with the media. As soon as you disregard mainstream media, you don't buy into this speech and you understand what's really going on and what's really going to happen here soon. And man, you gotta look at this as the culmination of the last 3 years, Nick, we've been pretty much talking about this stuff. And even before that, really, I've always said my awakening was 2008. Because this is all a culmination of that. It's just so simple. The resources now are stretched, right? They're just stretched, and there's a lot of people. And yet the people at the top that have the technology that would make these resources not needed won't kick it down, and they'd rather start a war and kill off a lot of people.
But they feel because of their technology that they're not spread thin. They think because they have this overwhelming, they can spy on everybody, they can see everything, they can visualize and see everything you're doing, that they're not spread thin. They know exactly what they're doing in their minds.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of their arrogance comes from. Okay, we should hit really hard on this speech tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wasn't reading from a script.
Oh, this is not only a script, this is poetry.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm reading it here. There's a lot of transcripts going on. And here's what you're right. 9/11's not mentioned once.
But Biden mentioned it earlier today.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that Obama does it, just mentions it in passing, saying before 9/11, is very telling.
9/11.
I mean, and then what they're basically saying is, listen, our economy's in the crapper. we're a vibrant country and we need war.
But 9/11.
It's basically what they're saying, man, that they need, they don't have, they're not leaders. They don't offer you a solution to grow as a country, as an American, as a person right now going to work. There's no future for you because their future is war. And the next one's the last one.
It's a great business idea if you're a horrible person.
But you have a bunker.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if you're really looking to profit on murder, then well done.
But I don't understand how any percentage of Americans supports any of these actions, because how does it help you? It provides blowback, not from a terrorist cell, but from Russia.
Oh, yeah.
They're not ISIL. They're not even China. They're pretty much basically at our level in a different way.
But it's all set up. Nick, did you hear the Dick Cheney interview where, what did he say? Did you hear this? Or?
Yeah. We posted it on the anti-media as well, where basically he was getting interviewed by Sean Hannity, and he said he had like a Freudian slip, and he basically said, you know, one of the things that we have going for us right now is the fact that there's 58% increase in jihadist extremism, and then he was like,
that's not good.
That's not a good thing that's going for us right now. Oops.
Cha-ching.
And if you look at his face in the video, you guys can. It's like one of the top three stories on the anti-media right now. If you guys go over there and look at that story, it's just a 50-second clip. You could see it on his face that he was like, "Oh shit, I messed up big time. I shouldn't have said that. Oops, no, I meant this." So these guys are totally loving this thing. There was a journalist yesterday on MSNBC in the morning I called her a journalist, maybe I say quote-unquote journalist, that was basically sitting there on MSNBC talking about how the polls are improving for the war effort. So basically she's like not saying, oh yeah, there's an increase of people that are in approval of attacking ISIS, even if it's in Syria. She's like, yep, the polls are rising, guys. You know, we're doing our job.
That's basically what she's saying.
I mean, this is just
these Freudian slips, man.
It's just horrible, horrible, horrible propaganda. And they're elated right now because they duped us. They failed a year ago. Let's not get it wrong. They failed a year ago when they tried to dupe us, when they were trying to say Assad was the biggest threat to the world. Right. And Assad was going to invade the United States.
Right.
They failed because they weren't able to attach terrorism to it. They weren't able to personalize it because Assad wasn't killing Christians. It was the guys that we were backing at the time that were killing Christians. So they just didn't bother to report on that stuff. But now they're able to say it's terrorism, and every American's got a weak spot in his heart for terrorism.
Literally, though. Literally, the people we wanted to go help a year ago are the same people we're going to attack now.
Well, yeah, because
that's
they're
insane.
They're useful idiots, man.
Yes.
And they've been used so many times. We've turned on so many groups that we've used to counter insurgents of a different nature. I mean, look at Afghanistan in the 80s. And now look at us. I mean, what in the heck happened in 20 years?
Bin Laden was a patriot. Oh, wait. No, wait.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Bin Laden
oh, wait.
Was a patriot. Yeah. These look, men have the moral fiber of our founding fathers.
Yeah,
you can name a quote from a president. And let's be honest. When Reagan got shot, that's when we knew the NWO had taken over. Because now they had full and total control.
Because Reagan actually wasn't a bad guy
until that day. So we see what happens. We see where we're at now. We're at that culmination. And there's still some free-thinking people. You're right. We're on an endangered species list.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing, because you don't necessarily want to live in the world they're building. Let's break that idea up. Let's make something better, or else so be it, because I really don't want to be around to see that.
Ultimately, though, I do think there's a possibility for us if we all rise up together as a society,
mm-hmm.
and we all collectively just say, okay, you know what? I've had enough.
We're done with it.
Yeah.
Take your dollars out of the bank and burn them.
Oh,
and then tell your job to shove it. And then take over houses that aren't being used and start planting crops. What the hell can they do? If we rose up together, the police would turn, the military would turn, the CIA would turn.
Like we said a couple shows ago when we were talking about Ferguson, Ferguson was a town of, 20,000?
Yeah. It's a suburb of St. Louis.
It's a small town, okay. and they had to get 25 police departments to get in there to try to put that thing down.
And they're there today.
And they're still there today. And today, they're in fact, today tensions were flaring up again.
You're such a racist. That's because they love freedom.
And here's the thing. If it's just a small effort like Ferguson, where it's just one town and the rest of St. Louis didn't do nothing, and in fact, remember that guy we had on the show last week was saying, hey, you know, when Dan Johnson was on the show, he said he was like 4 miles away at the next town over,
and people
were completely apathetic. Mm-hmm. People were, oh, yeah, but that's in Ferguson, you know, that's 4 miles down the road. You know, they were like, they didn't even care. It was just something that they saw on the evening news. That's all it was. And, of course, on the evening news, it spun to be something that it's not.
Yeah.
So everybody was apathetic at that time. So what we need to do is create something, a movement, whatever, where we put into force or put into play big ideas that can be implemented broadly by a lot of different people from all across the spectrum.
Yes.
So that the more they try to put it down, their resources will be spread so thin, and everything will backfire, just like in Ferguson, how it backfired. Look at all the new police accountability things that are coming about now because of what happened in Ferguson. All the people that are getting rid of the MRAPs, all the people that are getting rid of militarization. It's just like I think it was the Boston Massacre, right?
Right.
Boston Massacre, what the British did to the colonists, which is what really fomented this kind of revolutionary mindset in the masses, right? This is the kind of thing that every time our government does something dumb, it slowly increases that. It's just another domino that falls. Every time a cop kills a guy and we post a story on Cop Block, another domino falls.
And people, one thing people really forget is that with the revolution, less than one-third of the country was in support of the revolution.
Yep. And it was the 3% fought.
Right. It was the people with the loudest voices that were the most pissed off that were just like, I'm done with this.
The people that, and they had to make a lot of sense.
Right.
And I think that we've been spoiled.
Ironically, it was about the same percentage of people that voted for Ron Paul.
And you know, you're right. Those numbers aren't going to count for as much with the fact that they're in real time pretty much keeping tabs on everybody. However, like we were talking about earlier, that heart and mind thing can work both ways. Yeah, they can send out all kinds of propaganda, but a million trolls aren't going to beat 300 million people. It's just not going to happen. So that's the whole thing.
You can account for 300 million people. I think you have to attach the message to the people that believe. And I don't think, you know, I'd love to say 300 million people would. But
if
like we just said, the revolution started because of one-third of the percentage of people. I don't think you can account that everybody's going to change their minds overnight.
Right, but it's unnecessary because the propaganda war is lost and being lost by them because they're just outnumbered, man. There's 5 major news networks in the U.S.
They do a hell of a job with it.
They do for now, but we always like to say that people that watch TV are old, and soon they'll probably not really matter too much anymore. And they're not controlling the internet very well.
Old people watch the news.
Right.
Young people watch E! They watch MTV. They watch VH1.
True.
They watch this stuff.
To a lesser amount.
Right.
But the internet's so much more entertaining and so much more invigorating, and kids don't want to sit there anymore and be shot beta waves all day. They just, it's not doing it for them anymore. They want
to. You gotta remember, people can still watch The Walking Dead without having a cable subscription. All they gotta have is Hulu Plus or whatever that thing's called. And I don't know anyone that's gonna go on Hulu and watch MSNBC.
No.
You know, so I think as SM was saying, the old people still watch the news on TV. As they die off, so does the television news. But these guys are making inroads into the quote-unquote independent media. Think about Vice.
Right.
Vice is completely propped up now by Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
It's quickly becoming an asset of Fox News.
Well, it is. Fox News. Please explain to me, Nick, how You know, I don't know. How did Vice get the authority? Like, if ISIS is so bad, didn't they just recently go over there, hang out with ISIS for
an extended period of time they did? It's another thing that doesn't make sense. If ISIS is over there kidnapping journalists and cutting their heads off, how in the hell did Vice get in there and get a full-on documentary done with these guys, and they didn't bother kidnapping the Vice guys? Oh, you work for Vice? Okay, now we won't kidnap you, cut your head off, but this guy that works for Time Magazine, we'll kidnap him and cut his head off.
Yeah, it's just, it's asinine, man. It's, and then people are spouting it out like it's an alternative. It's not. It's as much as an alternative as Drudge Report is, man. Things are going to get called out. People are going to find out who's co-intel. It's not hard to do because you follow the money. That's all you got to do. If you're well-funded and somebody else is paying you, you're compromised. Just like corporate media. It doesn't matter if you use a banner of alternative media. It doesn't matter if you say what's unpopular. If somebody's paying you, you are basically doing what they tell you to do.
The sad part about Vice is that they got that guy Tim Pool, which is that famous live streamer from Occupy New York, right? And they got him on their payroll now, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's completely co-opted. And, you know, that's something that we got to be aware of moving forward. Now, people have given some grief to Glenn Greenwald for partnering with the PayPal guy.
Yeah.
I've been watching the Glenn Greenwald site, The Intercept, and they seem pretty damn independent to me.
Yeah.
And that's where this story came out that we posted about, that we talked about on Monday night show. We posted about it today. That's also on the antimedia.org. The story about how this journalist, quote-unquote journalist, at the L.A. Times had been basically running, proofing all of his stories through the CIA.
Right.
I mean, so...
But how long has that been going on?
I think that's been going on probably since World War II.
Right, yeah.
I mean, everything that started in World War II didn't stop. They've just changed it, renamed it, said it was gone, and then perfected it.
What? They were brainwashing people?
Right?
Congress goes in the 70s. What? You're brainwashing people? You can't do that.
You can't do that.
So you're going to have to stop that now. So they did.
Yes.
Freedom.
You can't invade the dreams of people with... they're at such a technological level that it's kind of just boggling, man.
It is. It's terrifying.
It only got worse. It only got worse after World War II because they brought in all the Nazi propagandists and all the Nazi scientists and all the Nazi rocket engineers and all this stuff.
Wernher von Braun, absolutely. They brought in, you know, that whole system, Huntsville, Alabama, was built up from Wernher von Braun. They still, to this day, have Wernher von Braun Boulevard. And he was a Nazi. Are you kidding?
All those guys that committed those horrible atrocities, these medical experiments on the Jews, guess what? They ended up working within our government.
Yeah.
They ended up over on
And they named streets after these people.
Yeah. What's that place called? Plum Island, where they did those horrible experiments? All right. Yeah. A lot of those Nazi guys ended up on Plum Island doing these same experiments.
Yeah.
I just found that out the other day. And I mean, these tactics that we're using, I was reading about this coup that we did in Ecuador in 54, right? And basically, they set up the Ecuadorian government to buy these weapons, which the U.S. government said were supplied by the USSR.
But that was a long time
ago. And it turned out, but here's the thing, it turns out that these weapons were actually Nazi-made, and they were coming from Czechoslovakia. They were surplus supplies from the Wehrmacht.
Wow.
And the U.S. government facilitated the sale, and then they tried to say that it came from the communists, and they turned it, and then they used that propaganda to overthrow the government down in Ecuador, along with a literal CIA invasion with 500 guys. With enough propaganda, they dropped leaflets. They had radio stations that were based out of Florida that they said were coming from within the jungles in Ecuador. I mean, I just read this stuff yesterday. It's on Wikipedia. It's right there. You guys, anyone can go read it. Look up the 1954.
Sadly, but that was a long time ago. They love you.
The 1954 Guatemalan coup d'etat. Look it up. I mean, this is horrible, horrible stuff. The stuff the CIA does. Obvious Nazi intervention here, especially with funneling these guys Nazi-made weapons and stuff, and then blaming it on the communists, and then. Overthrowing the government with 500 CIA-trained rebels. You know, they were supporting the opposition, just like we're getting ready to do with ISIS. And we got to remember, these kind of things keep repeating. This once they get a formula that works. Now, if you look at Guatemala right now, obviously for the people that live in Guatemala, that formula didn't work out. But if you look at the corporations and if you look into the story, most of the reason why this coup d'etat took place was for this fruit company.
Right. This is United Fruit Company. And this is also...
They overthrew a government. Right. They ended up killing 200,000 people.
Yep.
All for this fruit company that was an American-owned corporation.
And not only fruit company, for one fruit.
But it was a big money maker. But here's the deal. I mean, this is the three key words, and they've gone to their third word a little bit, but if I'm a U.S. politician, and I just want to do anything, I'd just go, freedom.
Yep.
Don't you want it? Oh, you don't? 9/11. Oh, that scares you? Christians. You're killing them.
Yeah, anything.
And they do any
journalists,
they
we're beheading them. That could be you. I mean... Wazidis were killing on
a
hill.
There's a high likelihood that those journalists that may or not have been killed there's a possibility that they could have been Christian. Does that bother you?
I mean, this is what bothers me. The fact that that's being perpetuated as propaganda when we've killed millions.
But freedom.
I mean, democide.
Are you against freedom?
I'm against democide. I'm against big government of any type because... All it means is one guy can tell 10 guys to kill 1,000.
That makes you a real American. You would rather, what you're saying is you would rather just murder everybody on the planet because of freedom.
Hey, because freedom, because communism, because who cares? What's whatever reason you come from, so we can take your stuff and pretend that it's ours and then wipe you out.
Terrorism, man. Come on, we're close to 9/11.
Tomorrow.
These are the heartstrings they're tugging on for people. A lot of people still believe in the whole 9/11 official story. And these are probably the same people that think it's a good idea to start bombing ISIS.
If we have one single caller out there that has seen an actual plane at the Pentagon, I will literally wire you $1,000 tomorrow.
Wasn't there a lady that's providing $100,000? I mean,
yeah.
Someone find surveillance. Well, you can't. They're even starting to... Pick apart the Twin Tower planes, making them look kind of silly in the right light, and it's kind of giving people a little heebie-jeebies about them even being planes, you know? So I don't know what's going on, and no one will until it comes out, and let's just get it out so we can put these people away and move on as the whole world.
What we do know is there was no plane that hit Building 7.
Right.
Zero.
That was a fire.
Right. It was freedom.
It was freedom.
Freedom hit that building, and that's why they hated us for it.
Yep.
So therefore, considering that it was a bunch of Saudi guys that blew the buildings up, we should.
15 out of the
that's
19
why we. That's why Saudis. We had to go invade Iraq because they were Saudis.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes perfect sense.
It's
and Afghanistan, just because they got trillions worth of resources, and a lot of oil in Iraq. So I mean, it's obvious. Every time we talk about humanitarian aid, anytime we talk about humanitarian missions, we sweep under the rug the 200,000 people we killed in Guatemala, the 500,000 Iraqi children we killed.
How many people because of our sanctions? How many people have we killed because of our sanctions overseas, especially in Iraq? That happened.
Yeah, about 1 million. And about 500,000 children. And Hillary Clinton was even... not Hillary Clinton. What was her name? The Secretary of State... I can't believe it. She looked like Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Older than Hillary Clinton. Anyway.
Eleanor Roosevelt?
No. They all look the same to me. Look, she was confronted on TV about the 500,000 children that were estimated to have died in Iraq because of our sanctions. And then the woman asked her, was it worth it? And she says, yes, I think it was worth it.
Freedom.
Because freedom.
Yeah.
Because we brought them freedom and democracy, and they loved it. You know, it's their fault that 500,000 children died. They got in the way of our sanctions.
Of course it's their fault.
They used our sanctions as human shields. You know, and this is the garbage propaganda that they feed out to us. And how many times, I mean, war after war after war, we find out the first Iraq war was done with this lie about throwing babies out of incubators. The second Iraq war was a lie about weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And we know about all these lies, and yet the same, I hate to call them idiots, but they are, that watch this crap on TV, actually believe this line again, and they're full for it. They're fully, full-hearted, and they fully support us going in and bombing Syria to take care of terrorism.
My one statement, I stand by it, and I said it earlier. Adolf Hitler is alive and well and living in Miami, Florida. And I had sex with her last night. I bet you would all eat shit with you.
That's a Jim Morrison quote, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's the world that we live in.
And that's
I mean, that's everything. Yeah. It's you just say it and they believe it. It doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if you can prove it. Here's the boogeyman. Be scared of him. We're going to throw his picture up on Time Magazine, and you will be terrified.
And if that doesn't work, we'll actually bring it home to you to get what we need passed to move our agenda forward for the, like we are always saying, man, the total control grid. And that's what's just – that's the end game. The end game is when you get chipped, that's it. That's it. This show's over. Your life as you know it is over. That's the end game. Yep. World War III. 7 billion people all dead or the chip. That's the options they're giving us right now. And they know we won't go for the chip, so we see what's going on. Because freedom, yeah.
But freedom. I don't know why
you're so against freedom. If you want to be free, you got to give up some freedom.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, and this is what they tell us.
Yeah.
This is what the Patriot Act tells us. This is what the NSA tells
us.
You
can be the freest country in the world by giving up all your freedoms.
Yeah, I mean... At least you can tell people you're free.
I mean, there's a reason why Switzerland has all the banks and they're covered by mountains. That's a little prison too, isn't it?
Switzerland. What a bunch of commies. It's about freedom. Dick Cheney, for God, vote for him.
I mean, the propaganda, sooner or later, it starts to kind of fall on deaf ears, right? So they got to change it up a bit. Al-Qaeda got old. Everyone kind of got resistant to the old Al-Qaeda line. And everyone, oh, yeah, Al-Qaeda, whatever.
Well, they changed the name this time. I'll give you
And one. So they had to come up with a new threat. You know, it was Saddam Hussein, it was Al-Qaeda, it was communism, it was socialism, you know, it was all kinds of stuff before. There's always a different name for it. Now it's ISIL. ISIS, Islamic State, a creation of our own making. There are people
what
that...
What was it?
There are people that were started off as Al-Qaeda, which started off as a CIA creation. We opened up a power vacuum by taking out Saddam Hussein, who we installed in the first place. I mean, this is just layer of layer after layer after layer of horrible decisions. And, I mean, it doesn't look like this government is ever, ever going to get a clue. And I don't think that there is any hope for this government.
And here's the thing. I think this is a really gray area, especially with me, and this is my own personal thought. Like, right now, what ISIL, ISIS, Islamic State, whatever they're doing right now, they are, they've been doing it for a while, and, you know, hopefully most of our listeners know this, but they've been killing Christians pretty nonchalantly for a minute. That being said, it's only now we become irate about it. And you have to ask yourself, well, why are they doing this? How does this exist? Saddam Hussein was not a good guy, but these exact same people, he kept in check. He did not allow this to happen. He actually protected the Christians for the most part.
Yeah. Well, he was a stabilizing, he was a strong man. And, you know, that's all that it is, because it's still the law of the jungle, because we're still not growing our own food and making our own energy, each person in the world, so we're still subservient to corporations and to corruption and to strongmen. We have the strongest man in the world right now that sits on top of the strongest military in the world right now, and so we flex our muscles. And that's how things are kept orderly, but that's not good. That's not a good thing.
We have the strongest man in the world to a degree.
Right.
But who is that? And that
no
I think
knows.
Is the ultimate A exactly.
Nobody
Nobody
knows.
Nobody
we have some ideas. We have some ideas where he lives.
They're not who but you know what? Whoever it is somebody that's not elected.
Of course not. This is somebody that their family's owned everything for 2,000
yeah.
years.
Yep.
and they still own everything, and they always will own everything.
Prescott Bush, look it up. Google yeah. Prescott Bush funding the Nazis right now.
Right. Well, yeah, and he got his $2.5 million
seed money. And his son and his grandson became president of this country.
And hey, with the prospects for 2016, another one of the Bushes might come in. And that'll really prove how brainwashed.
I hope that happens.
That'll really prove how brainwashed you are. And then we have Hillary Clinton, that's a complete neocon war hawk. I mean, what are we going to have? Two neoconservatives running for presidency and we get the lesser of the neoconservative? I mean, that's a horrible idea. And I think Bush is probably a lesser neoconservative than Clinton. And that's even worse. That's a horrible, horrible situation. And this is the crap that they're feeding us right now. Nobody likes a two-party system. There's more independents out there now. But what we talked about on Monday is that the media has this sense of preeminence. Now, if you look at the rhetoric that was thrown out there this week, ever since that poll came out late last week that showed that 60% or so of people who answered landline polling, which is bound to be skewed, these people are basically getting on TV and making a, what is it called, a false pretext. They're basically saying every single person in this country basically agrees that we should start bombing ISIS, so that's why, so we're just going to start bombing
ISIS. Yeah, that's actually we should because of freedom.
And that's what they say. They come out, they take this poll, and then they jam it down the airwaves over and over and over. Obama now has the support of the American people. If he wanted to strike Syria, that's what we're going to say. Say it on every single channel 100 times a day and see what happens. It's right. Rhetoric. That's a typical propaganda tactic that we need to recognize, and we need to combat it. And the only way to combat bad rhetoric...
What do you think about the kind of impregnation of the Republican Party, the GOP, with this libertarianism? Do you think this will change anything?
No.
Do you think Thomas Massie, Justin Amash, Rand Paul...
But they're playing the game.
Ted Cruz to a lesser extent.
Visionaries don't play the game. Dr. Martin Luther King didn't run for office because he knew it wouldn't change things.
You're right, absolutely.
And it won't. The only thing that's going to change things is if somebody gets an audience. And that audience starts getting their own audience.
But look at Ron. Look at Ron right. Paul. I think... He did what he did out of noble intentions. Sure. I don't necessarily don't think he was a saint, but he did what he did, and that gave him an audience.
Yeah.
His political platform gave him an audience, and I don't think he ran because he thought he would ever be president.
Right.
I think he ran because this gives me the biggest audience possible to relay my message, basically with him, about the Federal Reserve.
And I also think he ran to a much greater extent than people understand, because when you have an area where you control, like Corpus Christi, for 4, 5, 6, 7 terms, you can create the community that you want.
Jackson, Texas.
Exactly. And he has, man. He's been able to set up homestead laws so that there's ways that you can get around property tax, which, by the way, means you never own a home, so you never have... a reason to not work. I mean, we have so many things he wanted to get rid of and get back to things prior to 1913, man. It's all that year. That year absolutely. Is the worst year ever because...
IRS, you know, and the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And it's when all these citations and fees and everything you would ever think about to make money out of thin air for no services...
Well, right, though, that was the year we got freedom.
Yeah. Freedom from the gold standard.
Yeah.
I don't have much hope for this libertarian strain of these guys in the Republican Party because, I mean, just look at what just happened. I mean, this whole thing with ISIS, half these guys that are supposed to be standing up against this stuff were basically like, yeah, I'd do it. I'd take it to Congress, but I'd still do it. I mean, so in the end, I mean, we got to remember that we're ruled by an oligarchy and that the elections... We've seen it. The elections are rigged, more or less, to an extent. So if there even was an insurgent party that was able to take over one of these parties, there would be measures in place to prevent that from happening, such as the Commission on Electoral Debates and all this stuff. The way that all the debates are controlled, if you look at If you looked at all the 2012 debates, only a few candidates, such as Mitt Romney, got the majority of the face time because Mitt Romney was pre-selected to be running against Obama, and he was pre-selected to lose against Obama.
But he had
Obama.
Beautiful hair, so...
Yeah, he had great hair. He looked like Ken Barbie doll and all that good stuff. So a few...
Okay, so given tomorrow is the anniversary of 9/11, yada, 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 what do you think about... And this is a big, big deal that the rest of the country's not really touching on. There are the 28 pages that exist. We don't know what they say. We do know that there are 10 people in Congress. God bless these 10 people in the House of Representatives. There's 425 others that are just like, we're not for this. But Thomas Hatch from Kentucky is the biggest one that I know that is just like, I read these 28 pages. It made me reevaluate history. And I had to stop reading every 2 to 3 pages and just reevaluate everything I knew about 9/11.
Right.
These 28 pages exist.
Right.
They say they won't release them because of national security.
Right.
Massey says, I've read it. It does not affect national security whatsoever. Ron Paul saying it doesn't affect national security whatsoever. Why won't they release this?
Yeah.
What are they scared of? What does it say?
Right.
And where will it put us as a nation?
Well, the problem is that the damage from 9/11 and the reaction of it, and the biggest thing I can think of is the wars and the Patriot Act. All that damage has already been done. No matter, even if the government came out and said, Even if they pulled these pages out, and let's keep in mind, these 28 pages are going to be heavily, heavily redacted.
Oh, absolutely.
All the details, names, all that, they're not going to be there.
But it, just one congressman's reaction of his, I have to reevaluate history kind of thing. It's like, what is it saying in this thing to the rest of the American public?
I think there's been a lot of speculation. I've read a few books, especially by former people in the security apparatus, especially the CIA. And from what we've read, or from what I've read, that people have been able to put through press somehow, is that pretty much their thinking is that this was Mossad that did it to us. And people wonder why, so that we'd fight their enemies for them and provide them security. And it's really that simple. And there were people within our government that worked in collusion. They have dual citizenships, and they're very easy to find who they are, and the money trail's there. However, you do something about it, you're done.
Now, let me go a little bit off the deal here, but I've kind of personally thought the same thing you just mentioned. Now, to me, it seems like there's a three-headed monster that's running the world. Mm-hmm. It's Israel and Mossad.
Mm-hmm.
It's the United States and CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Saudi Arabia.
And probably, yeah.
We got 15 of the 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia. And right. We're, oh, well, yeah, they're from Saudi Arabia. Clearly, that's attack Iraq, because that makes the most sense. Oh, Afghanistan. Yeah, they're from Saudi Arabia. Starts with an A. The second word starts with an A. And so does Afghanistan. Let's attack it. That three-headed monster is what I think is globally controlling the wealth of the world,
yeah.
Especially Saudi Arabia. Think about the way the Bushes palled around
right.
with the king.
Sure. You know, and then they're given carte blanche and they can do what they want. For a time... You have to understand that ocean of oil is very rapidly being drained, and it's pretty much at its half peak. And we'll get rid of it in 25 years, the way we're consuming.
At which point, they're going to need some freedom and democracy.
Freedom!
They may have a, I guess what they would probably call in the media, a monarchy. But in reality, it's a brutal dictatorship that is basically... completely ignores human
they rights. Are literally the people they say we should hate.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia are the guys that we should be bombing.
Yes!
Invading.
They're the radical Muslims, not Iran.
And they're through proxy, they're the ones that really prop up the ISIS groups and the Al-Qaeda groups.
Yep, and Qatar.
And that's what they do.
But freedom.
and United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
You have to look at these, I mean, these groups, man. They're, and it, man, it's just, it's impossible to tell. When you talk about an octopus with tentacles, you got to throw in City of London because they control money supply. You got to throw in Vatican because they own all the land. I mean, there's a bunch of different centers. You can throw in, absolutely throw in Moscow and Beijing there too because they control their own spheres. And you're right. Saudi Arabia is given a pass because they still have an ocean of oil. And when it's drained, I'm sure there'll be a giant fishbowl over there. So, you know, these things are coming home to roost. You can't lie forever. The CIA book I read said the scariest thing about Mossad is that they pretend to be your friend, and then they make it look like an Arab country attacked you because they're very, very good at doing that, and that they were probably, you know, in cahoots with some of these groups and took out the Liberty too. I mean,
this is off the top of my head. Maybe you remember what I'm talking about. There was a situation, and please forgive me for not remembering the details. When Lyndon Johnson, I know there was a situation when there was a ship that Lyndon Johnson ordered Israel to bomb the ship and sink it.
The USS Liberty.
Yeah. Yes, and it was on the tapes of Johnson, and it didn't sink. And the only reason it came out, and it was Israeli aircraft people that were bombing it, is because they actually made it back to shore, bombed senseless. And I don't remember the details. Please forgive me for not. Look it up yourself. But that's how far back this goes, of Israel kind of doing the devil's work for the United States.
Yeah, I mean, false flags have preceded almost every war, whether it's a false flag or just an outright lie, like the last time I went to Iraq. And I mean, what we're doing right now in Iraq, I mean, that first the first beheading video has basically been debunked. Now, the people that debunked it say, well, yeah, we still think the guy is dead, but the video of him actually being decapitated was staged. Okay, so there's
that. When anti-conspiracy people start debunking stuff and saying, oh, yeah, it's probably fake, then you know there's a problem.
Why wouldn't they show it full completion like they did to the 18-year-old Syrian soldier that they hijacked and sawed his head off while he was screaming before? Because this is propaganda. It's a theater. And it's easy to see it, man. It's easy.
And then, you know, the other thing, the second video came out of a think tank. It came from an American-based think tank. It didn't come from the Twitter account of ISIS. It didn't come from any official ISIS Facebook page or anything like that. It got put out by an American think tank. That's right. A neoconservative think tank.
How did they get the video?
That tries to get us into war.
That's how they got it.
They got it because
of freedom. And a green screen.
It is. It's wag the dog now in the Middle East.
Here's the thing. Above all, even if we were to catch these assholes faking these movies from these think tanks,
you can't prove anything. That's the sad part.
Not only can you not prove it, but even if you could, it doesn't matter. The press is legally allowed to lie to people.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because of the precedent that was set by Monsanto in Florida back in the 90s. Because of their milk that was the Monsanto hormone, RGBH hormone milk that was causing problems.
Anything for mass consumption is for one thing only, mass control. That's it. Fast food, mass control. Why? GMOs, cancer, you're in the system forever, you need them.
Diabetes.
Anything. Anything that people consume in large portions is strictly there for control, and that is it. There's no profit in news or sports. Those things are all made from fake printing presses of U.S. dollars, okay?
Freedom.
There is no profit. I promise you there's not a single fast food restaurant that pulls a profit. Come up with somehow to prove to me that it does. Why do you think it does? Why do you think they get their food so subsidized?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's all
the government pays all the wages.
Exactly.
But McDonald's is making a profit.
No, they're not. They're getting their food so cheap because the government subsidizes.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Freedom!